right, going to go to the Bud Light Hotline now. Welcome in West Durham of the ACC Network. Follow him on Twitter at West Durham. A lot happening in the ACC. West, we've got a massive matchup coming up this weekend. We've had some surprises so far this season. And we have a head coach and athletic director dismissed yesterday. And we spent some time just talking about sort of where we are in college football. And we get a little bit consumed with the teams that are, you know, above normal and doing better than everybody else. But yeah, COVID and then NIL hit sort of back to back. There'll be a lot of programs that really are just not ready to deal with that and have not been able to catch up. Jeff Collins, Georgia Tech, kind of felt like one of those, especially with the amount of guys who left and are starting other places. What does Georgia Tech need? Because it felt like he was getting the talent in. It felt like he raised the profile of the program a little bit more, but obviously it did not work on the field. What type of guy, what type of coach do you feel like might be the best fit for what's next in Atlanta?
I think it's a really good question, Cole. Great to be with you guys this morning. I think the one aspect is that Georgia Tech is probably in that ballpark with several other institutions who at some point in the next, you know, couple of years is ultimately going to have to decide, you know, how far down the road do you want to go with this, right? Because needless to say, the business of college football is just getting bigger. And I think your coaching hire will be a lot toward that. I think let's be honest, you're not going to go to a guy who you're going to pay $9 million to. Georgia Tech's just not going to be that institution. But can you find somebody that can come in and grow the program? I mean, yesterday was a landmark day in the 120-odd year history, almost 30-year history of Georgia Tech athletics. They fired an athletic director for the first time yesterday. They'd never done that at Georgia Tech. Football coaching changes, those have happened. They fired coaches before. They fired coaches. Bill Lewis was fired in 94 with 3 games left to go. And you guys know Chan Gailey was let go before he coached a bowl game. So, I mean, you know, that precedent wasn't anything historic like the AD was. But I think the institution itself and a lot of the brain trust at the institution in the next football hire has to be thinking about where do they want to go? And I had somebody ask me this weekend about, you know, do you want to be a top 25 team or do you want to be a relevant team? It's hard to say you want to be elite right now unless you're willing to just recreate everything you have philosophically about you, as you guys know. And if you haven't already been there and you're not willing to make that commitment, what are you going to be? And I think that's a question Georgia Tech has to answer. And the candidate pool on that answer, Colin Gregg, I think will be reflective of who they hire.
Well, I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of a doomsday scenario because of where the ACC's at and the grant of rights and everything that they have. I mean, it does feel like they have a pretty long runway. It does feel fairly secure. So if they make a hire that, I guess, indicates penny pinching, you know, what does that necessarily tell you? It means that they're not really interested in trying to play at the highest levels of college football. I mean, I'm having a difficult time understanding why you feel like it's so doom and gloom for Georgia Tech.
I don't think it's doom and gloom, Greg. I just think they have to make the decision. I think they can absolutely say, we're going to do it. But you can't be benevolent to the academics and all the other things and the volatility of the portal with the landscape where it is. I think Georgia Tech ultimately, and look, I spent almost 20 years there. I can tell you that the academic thing was real and still is real. And when you were successful with Paul Johnson or successful with Chan Gailey or successful with George O'Leary, and obviously Bobby Ross, you know, won a national title there, I think you've got to go back and find kind of that sweet spot of where you are as an institution and understand that player development's a real big key. You know, some of the stuff over the top is important, but can you still build within the, you know, the realm of success in college football? I think they can. I just think you have to understand that where you are, you know, you probably got to raise, you know, to get your service debt off or your building debt off from your budget. You probably got to go out and do another big campaign run. You got to continue to update facilities. You got to, you know, kind of get in the game a little bit. And that's the part where Georgia Tech, I think, ultimately has to make that kind of decision.
Visiting with West Durham of the ACC Network, what kind of academic background and, I guess, involvement with a school that has a complicated academic situation, how important will that be for the next head coach at Georgia Tech?
I think it's important. It doesn't have to be directly with the head coach, but it certainly has to be understood in the staff composition. You know, they've hired guys before that have not had – you know, major academic core curriculum at their on their resume, but at the same time, they found a way through staff and coaching staff to understand kind of the, you know, the fine line you got to walk here. But at the same time, I think ultimately the get here is going to be to find somebody who can come in and energize not only what they were doing recruiting, but also prove to be successful on the field. They were recruiting well, as you guys know. You talked about, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs obviously was an incredibly talented signee here who's obviously at Alabama now. And, you know, you got guys at Ole Miss, you got guys at Arkansas, their players, you know, strewn across the Southeast and Midwest who played here a year ago or 2 years ago. In Atlanta. And I think that you can find guys that want to come in and build it and be competitive in a volatile situation for the ACC where, you know, we're out of divisions after this year in the Atlantic Coast Conference. They're going to go back to a straight 14-team run. That creates a little bit of a differential based on, you know, what you saw last weekend. You could get Wake and Clemson twice in the new format as opposed to just once like this year. So I think it's going to be interesting. Candidate pools are going to be curious to me, but I think the AD hire, Cole and Greg, is going to happen before that. I think every indication's been given they're going to move on this pretty prompt and see if they can get something done in the next 6 weeks so that they might be able to pull the trigger on a head coach pretty quick toward the end of the regular season.
What about the rest of the ACC right now? Is there any other coach that's in a little bit of hot water? Doesn't really feel like there is, but you right. seem to have a better sense than I do. Like Jeff Hafley would be one that comes to mind, but I don't think that's a place that would make a move. He's built up enough goodwill to me.
Yeah, no question. I think he's done a terrific job there. They lost their best offensive lineman. The only one that was coming back, Greg, from the guys they had a year ago, Christian Mahogany, they lost him in the offseason, so they're basically starting from scratch up front. I think Scott Satterfield's situation with Josh Hurd now being the AD there on a full-time basis and not an interim tag, maybe. But, you know, I think, you know, Louisville, you know, beat South Florida. They got a big ball game this weekend at Boston College. They play Virginia the week after that. I would think they could pick up a couple more wins, and that would probably reduce the steam there. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't see many coaching changes or anything beyond Georgia Tech at this point. You know, it seems like the most of these programs have kind of, as Cole mentioned at the top, some of the COVID stuff maybe wore into last year a little bit. But I think now most of these programs, especially the rebound that Syracuse has put on here at the start. Now, Syracuse's back end is as brutal as anybody playing anywhere schedule-wise. But I think Syracuse has done a nice job to kind of reset things there.
All right, Wes Durham with us on the Bud Light Hotline with the ACC Network. Follow him on Twitter at Wes Durham. We get a top 10 matchup coming up this weekend, 6:30 on ABC, number 10, North Carolina State at number 5, Clemson. Finally felt like Clemson allowed DJ to push the ball down the field a little bit last week. I'm interested in just, is Clemson what you thought they would be up to this point? And NC State had a lot of hype coming into the season. What part of that team do you feel like is ahead of schedule, and what part of that of the Wolfpack do you think is sort of lagging behind heading into this matchup?
Well, I think where Clemson is up in their front seven defensively, when healthy, they're as good as anybody in the country. I think the back end is the problem where they've had some injuries, and you know we were still kind of waiting to see who the next guy up was after Andrew Booth and things like that in the secondary. And I know Fred Davis missed last week, and you know they had Nate Wiggins in there playing a little bit, and you know, Toriano Prince is a young kid out of St. Louis who I think they like, but it's, you know, that was Sam Hartman was in there flinging it right over the top of him. So I think the back end is probably Clemson's biggest concern defensively. The other area where I have a concern is kind of the consistent playmaking on the perimeter beyond Bo Collins. I think Davis Allen's emerged at tight end for him, Cole and Greg, but I think, you know, you're still looking for the T. Higgins, Justin Ross type guy. The most encouraging thing for me is the, you know, is DJ Uiagalelei. I think I saw him in week two against Furman. He was okay, got a little better the next week, and then I thought last week kind of showcased who he is. And boy, he and Sam Hartman put on a terrific show. And I think Clemson's capable. The NC State concern I have, defensively, they've been pretty good. The offensive side, Devin Leary's been slow to boil this year. The run game has not been the biggest concern. It's actually been playmaking on the perimeter. So I think in some ways that matchup Saturday night comes down to maybe who can sneak a big play in. in the throw game in particular. The run game, I think Shipley has an advantage on what NC State does. But the Wolfpack is a feisty bunch now. This group is, you know, the way they came through the offseason and certainly went through in August, the Leary performance early maybe is a pause for concern, but on the whole, I think NC State is going to be an interesting test for Clemson on Saturday night.
Yeah, it certainly is going to be one of those crazy games. Wes, finally, is there anyone that you feel good about coming out of the Coastal this year, or is it going to be kind of by a process of elimination?
It's a good way to put it. In fact, process of elimination may be the last week of the regular season when Pitt visits Miami, Greg. I mean, you know, Miami didn't obviously play very well at Texas A&M, and then, you know, let A&M beat them twice, in my opinion, last week. They took an El Dosarito at home, in my opinion, last Saturday. I just didn't like anything about what they did. I think Pittsburgh is okay. Narduzzi's finally gotten into a core where he can just line up in 22 and run it at you. Defensively, they're not bad. They, you know, Tennessee, I think, is proving to be an interesting test, not just for Pittsburgh, but for some teams in the Southeastern Conference. When you lose Slovis in the first half, you kind of steal the momentum of that team. If I had to pick a team today, I'd tell you I think Pitt has an excellent chance to repeat just based on kind of what I saw, and I'm going to have them Saturday night again against Georgia Tech at Acrisure. So I'm kind of interested to see what Pitt's like now that they're going to run 8 straight conference games on the slate for the rest of the regular season.
Wes, great stuff, man. Always appreciate the time, and look forward to doing it again soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Be well. Good to catch up. Thanks.
Same to you. Wes Durham of the ACC Network joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste when there's fun. Bud Light is there. Follow him on Twitter at Wes Durham. And as you heard him, Pitt, Georgia Tech, Saturday night on the ACC Network.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.